Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom line. As we have discussed many times, a Jewish marriage has two stages. There's the Erusin and the Nesuin. The Erusin is the first step. The second step is the Nesuin. As we have also mentioned, at the point that the woman becomes a Mureses, at that point, she is considered an Eishes Ish. Were she to have a relationship with another man, and they would have a child, that child would be a mamzer. So the Gemara begins with the following story. There was an Oros and a Rusosai. Dosla Kameh to Rabbi Yosef. They came to Rabbi Yosef. This woman was an Arusa, and she was pregnant. And he Amra, and she claimed that the child that she was carrying, Minei, is from the Oros, and therefore the child is kosher, and she may remain with her husband. There is no concern that she had relations with another man while she was already an Arusa. For who, Omer, and the Oros claims, in Minoi, indeed the child came from me. Omer Rabbi Yosef, says the Rabbi Yosef, that given that everybody agrees that he is the father, and since he claims that he's the father, so the child is not a mamzer, she is may remain married to him. For Lamai Nechishla, says Rabbi Yosef, why should we be concerned? Chada, number one, Hakamaida, the Oros is agreeing that he is the father of the child. Void, and furthermore, Ham Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, even in a case where a husband and wife are disagreeing, haven't we learned, says the Gemara, Dalok Gamliel, that we follow Gamliel? So as we said in the previous year, in previous Shiurim, Gamliel says that when the wife makes a definite claim, she has a bari, we accept her claim. So certainly in our case, where the husband is agreeing with her, there is no reason why not to be lenient. First of all, Rav Gamliel is agreeable, and even without Rav Gamliel, since he's agreeing. So the Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean that Iminoi, that for me, that I am the father? The Tosfos gives two pshatim. One pshat is that he is the one, he admits they had relations with her. Since he admits he had relations with her, that's why we assume that he is the father. But then Taisa says another pshat. Taisa says that just because he agrees that he had relations with her, that shouldn't be enough of a reason that we should be allowed to be lenient. Because Taisa is concerned that maybe just like he had relations with her, maybe somebody else had relations with her. And therefore, we would have to be concerned that this child is the child of another man. So Tosfos says that not only does he say that he had relations with her, but he also says that he had relations with her many times. By him saying that he had relations with her many times, that's clearly an indication that he must be the father. However, the Ritva takes a stricter approach. He says, not only does he say that I had relations with her, but he says, I could testify that she did not have relations with anyone else. Because he says, for example, that she and I were in prison together. And since she and I were in prison together, there was nobody else there. So there was no one else who possibly could have had relations with her. And that's why the Ritva says, we believe him. The Shmaitza has a different pshat in this Gemara. Since he says, I believe her, once he says, I believe her, he says there's a din in the Torah. The Torah says, Yakir, that a father has a right to determine and say that this is my child. Says the Shmaitza, that just like the Torah gave the father this authority, this namonis, by saying Yakir, we believe him in this case as well, that if he says that this is my child, then he is believed. But makes the Shmaitza a very interesting point. That means the special mnemonis that the Torah gives to a father is only the mnemonis that the father gives to the Torah gives to the father vis-a-vis his child. It's not a special mnemonis that the Torah gives to a husband vis-a-vis his wife. Suggests the Shmatzer that if that's pshat in our Gemara, he would only be believed as in a case, he would only be believed regarding the child, but not regarding the wife. Tosis and other Rishonim say that the halacha is like Gamliel. The Gemara said the halacha is Gamliel. However, they point out, as we said in a previous year, they only believed if there's no one who's denying what she says. That's when we accept what Gamliel says. In other words, as we learned in the previous year, since her mnemonis is based on a bari, the fact that she's making a definite claim, and there's no one making a counterclaim with any definitiveness, we believe her. But according to Tosfos and those Rishonim, if there was somebody here making a claim that he is the father, for example, then we would not necessarily paskin like Rav Gamliel and accept what she says. However, the Shit Tosfos Arid disagrees, and she says that she is believed even if there's somebody, we pass on like Rav Gamliel, that she is believed even when there's somebody making a definitive counterclaim. And I presume that the reason for the Tosfos Arid is because we rely on a Cheskas Kashrus. The Rambam has sort of a compromise position. The Rambam says that she's always believed as far as we always pass on like Rav Gamliel as far as she herself, and she is believed with her claim. However, regarding the child, if there's no one that's making a definitive counterclaim, so not only do we pass on like Rav Gamliel regarding she herself, we pass on like Rav Gamliel that even the child will be fine. But if there's somebody making a counterclaim, that counterclaim will not be accepted regarding her, but it will be accepted and will be concerned as far as the child's concerned. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef that from your saying that even Rabbi Shua would agree that if the Oris admits that this must be his child, then we accept what they're saying. Says the Gemara Baha, Kilay Maida, Machsher Gamliel. So it seems to say that Rabbi Gamliel would even hold his opinion even if the Oris wasn't agreeable. Ask the Gemara, Vamalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, Halacha Kerab Gamliel, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. However, he told him, Va'at loy tavid uvda, don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, ad ikarav ksher netzloy. Until most people that she could have paskin like, the most people that she could have had relations with are kosher, because she's a single girl. And that's why we could be lenient. But ask the Gemara of a Hacha, but in this case, Roy Psulim Etzloy. Everybody besides, she's an Eish HaSish, as we began our shiur. She's an Arusa. If she's an Eish HaSish, the only individual with whom she can have relations with her husband. The rest of the world, which is all the world except for this one person, cannot have relations with her, given that she's an Eish HaSish. And Rabbi, you just taught us that in a place where it's Roiv Psulim Etzla, we can't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So how are you saying that in this case, even Rabbi Yeshua would be lenient? According to the way you taught us, even Rabbi Gamliel would not be lenient under such circumstances. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, L'tamech, and you, according to your understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, that Gamliel is only lenient when it's Roiv Ksheirim, Tik Shalach Higufa. So let's try to understand what Shmuel says. Halacha, first Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. However, we told him, Fa'at loy tavid uvda. Don't follow that opinion. Now let's understand that statement. By saying halacha Gamliel, it seems that he's saying that Rabbi Gamliel is always lenient, but he's telling him that in a case where it's Roy Psulim, don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. El Mayis L'chameima. So how do we understand that? How do we have to understand that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel even by Roy Psulim? When he told him, but by Roy Psulim, don't rely on Gamliel, Hal Chathil Hadi Yevet. the lechatchila don't rely on Rav Gamliel's opinion when it's roi psulim. But in a situation such as ours, where they already got married, even though it's a situation of roi psulim, Rav Gamliel himself holds that we could be lenient even in a case of roi psulim. And says the Gemara, v'ho nami, in our situation where Oros and Arusa are coming with this situation, that's considered a situation of a d'vyevet. And Rashi explains, why is it considered a situation of a d'vyevet? Because if we won't allow her to marry her, if we're not going to believe her, we won't allow her to marry him, because she's going to be considered a woman who was married and had an adulterous relationship, which we know the halach on such a woman is, asulabal, asulabayo. Because that's the circumstance, it's considered a b'di'evit. Ask the Rishonim, that's understandable on the mother, that the mother is now in a precarious situation, that's why it's considered b'di'evit, and we could be lenient. But why are we going to be lenient regarding the child? So there's two pshatim that I saw. One pshat is that if we're not going to be lenient regarding the child, the husband is not going to want to remain with her. And therefore, being lenient in the child regarding the child is all in this d'yevet that we're speaking about. Another pshat is that we're going to be only lenient regarding the wife, but not regarding the child, then he'll become usher to the whole world. And therefore, the b'di'evet does not only affect the mother, it affects the child as well. The Ravid, however, does say that when the Gemara says halachatchila, it's only referring to the mother, not to the child. So we gave two explanations why we could be lenient for the child. One is because the husband won't want to remain with her, or because the child is also in a b'di'evet situation. The question is, what is the nafkamina? So I saw the nafkamina is, what about regarding letting the child marry a kohen? There, if we say the concern is that if we're going to be strict regarding the child, then the husband won't want to remain with her. So then, even if we're just strict regarding him being able to marry a kohen, the child being marrying a kohen, he won't want to remain with her. But if we say that the issue is that the child should have somebody to marry, he has plenty of people to marry. The Beis Shmuel, however, disagrees, and the Beis Shmuel says that if we are lenient regarding the child, we're going to be lenient that he can marry that she can marry everybody. To start making distinctions and saying that she can marry only certain Jews but not Kohanim is not something the Gemara would accept. Ramele Abaye L'Rabba. So says the Gemara, now that we've established that according to Rav Yeshua, we don't trust the woman, and according to Rabbi Gamliel, we do trust the woman. Ask the Gemara, Ramalei Abaye L'Rava, Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua in the Menes, is it indeed the opinion of Yeshua that she's not trusted when she says that she had relations, but the relations were with a kosher? Ramini, ask the Gemara, Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Al Amonas Isa, an Amona of a man who, there's a suffix, it was a cholo. And the halach is as follows. If a woman is married to a cholo, then she can never marry a kohen. This individual to whom she was married was a suffolk cholo. So now the question is that can this woman, if her husband, who is the suffolk cholo, passes away, can she now marry a kohen? So Gemara says, the Braisa teaches us, the Rishua teaches us that such a woman is ksheira lakuna. She can marry a kohen. And the reason we allow to be lenient is because she's we give her a chazaka. And the chazaka is that she's kosher to kohen and she remains. And the question is, the Gemara calls such a woman an amanas isa because he's a suffolk chalal. How does a person become a suffolk chalal? So Rashi explains that a woman was married to a man, and the man gave her a get. But as we discussed in Masechtas Yevamos, suffolk karav lo is suffolk karav lo. We're not sure when he gave her a get, was it closer to him or to her? If it was closer to him, she is not divorced. If it's closer to her, she is divorced. We know a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. This woman, who is, we're not clear if she is a grusha or not, now went and married a kohen. So if she's a grusha, the child that's born is a chalal. If she's not a grusha, because her husband ultimately died and she's an almana, she is a not a chalala, and she didn't do anything wrong, and the child is not a chalal. That is the definition, according to Rashi, of a suffolk chalal. Rashi, but then there's another pshat that the Rishonim give, that the woman had a suffolk erushin, and then she got married to a kohen within 3 months after that divorce. And as we discussed as well in Masechta Yevamos, and when she has a child after 7 months, after she married the second husband. Now, if the child is from the first marriage, so he's perfectly fine. But if he's from the second marriage, now we don't know his status. And therefore, that's considered a sfeika if he's a kosher or chalal. And now the Gemara is discussing the almana of that child that's a sfeika. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is where the mother had a suffolk erushin, married a kohen, and the child was born, and that child is a suffolk chalal, and now we don't know exactly who is that child. So we have a double suffolk. First of all, we don't know if he's a chalal, and then we don't know exactly who is that person. So, but we see here that Rabbi Shua is lenient, and we give this woman a cheskes kashrus. But in our Gemaras, Rabbi Shua has been strict, and Rabbi Shua is saying that we don't trust the cheskes kashrus. Amalei, so Rava responds to Baya, Hachi Hashta, are the situations similar? Hasam, by the case of the Amonas Isa, Isha Bedekes Venissus. We're confident that a woman is always careful before she gets married to make sure that the man she married was a man that she was allowed to marry. That's why, in such a situation, Rabbi Shua, even though he's been strict, will rely on a cheskes kashrus. However, in our Mishnayos, that, as we spoke about in the previous year, Rome Medaberes HaMechad, there's something that was wrong here. So we say that the concern here is that she had an inappropriate relationship. Can we say Isha Mazana, a person that has an adulterous relations, but Dekas Mazana, is always careful? We can't, of course, be careful, say that she's careful with whom she's Mazana. She's careful with whom she is, with whom she marries. But that type of investigation doesn't take place if Chas V'Shalom she's Mazana. And that's why in these cases, we have no right to be lenient. So ask the Gemara, but I'm a Rava. You're focused on Rabbi Shua. The Rabbi Shua, Kasha. Are you only concerned about the opinion of Rabbi Shua? The Rabbi Gamliel, Kasha. What about, he asks, says Rava, the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel? V'ktani b'seifa, the seif of that Mishnah teaches us, I'm Lord Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yehuda M'Seira, Kibalnu Eidoschem. We accepted what you said, that the Almanas Isa may marry a Koyim. Avo Manessa. But they said, what should we do? Should we go to Rabbi Yochim and Zakai? Shloila Hoshiv Bezdin Akach. We should never have Bezdin adjudicate such a situation. Shekoyim Shem Lechem L'Rachik. Because the Kohanim will accept that she's not allowed to marry Kohen, Avloy Lekariv. So we see that Rabbi Gamliel says that even though he is always lenient in our shiurim in the various situations, he's not lenient in this situation, and he says that Almanas Isa may not marry Kohen. So the Gemara is pointing out, Rav is pointing out, Rabbi Gamliel has always been lenient, yet in our sugya, he's machmer. Elamar Rava. How do we reconcile Rabbi Gamliel's opinion? Rabbi Gamliel, Lakasha. Hasam Bari. In the Mishnayos that we've been learning, the Mishnah we began today's year with the Muberes, she is coming with a Bari. She's coming with a definite claim that she did nothing wrong. Hacha Shema. But Almanas Isa, she can't be sure what was the status of her husband. And that's why, even though Rabbi Gamliel is normally lenient, here he's machmer. On the other hand, Rabbi Shua nami loikasha. Hosom chatzfeika. By the case of Muberes, the case of Mudaberes, there's one suffix. We know she had relations. We're not just sure with whom she had the relations, and therefore it's one suffix, and therefore we have to be machmer. Hocha, there's a svek sveka. The first suffix is if he's a cholol or not. And now, the second suffix is that who says that it affected the child, as we gave a number of examples. So since it's a case of a svek sveka, that's why we're more lenient. Hilchach, Rabbi Gamliel on the lembari. The Gemara now summarizes how Rabbi Gamliel looks at the different situations and how Rabbi Yehuda look at the different situations. Hilchach, Rabbi Gamliel olam lei bari. Rabbi Gamliel always follows the bari, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel holds that fil v'chatzveika, when even there's only just one question, as long as she's a bari, machshir. But the Rishonim point out that even though Rabbi Gamliel is lenient with one bari, he will require a cheskes kashrus. On the other hand, the kill a shema that feel a svek sveka, but in a situation where it's a safek, in the case of the almanas isa, even though it's a svek sveka, but she cannot make a definitive claim that she's kosher, Rabbi Gamliel is machmer. Rav Shua olam lechatz sveka. On the other hand, Rav Shua looks at a shayla. If there's chatz sveka, there's only one safek, afilu bari, even if she's confident with a claim, puzzle, he's machmer. The kile svek sveka, but he's always lenient by svek sveka. As we explained earlier, the case of an almanas is a svek sveka. The filu shema, even if her claim is no more than a shema claim, he's machshem. Tana bonim, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, what is the definition of almanas isa? The Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda and Mesera are lenient. There's no question of a mamzer. We discussed them. Sech the Yavamis and the Nesinim are the nation who we may not intermarry with. The Avdei Melochim were the Avodim that Shlomo HaMelech brought into Klal Yisrael. They weren't Jewish, and they forcibly married Jewish girl, like the family of Hordas. All these people are not the question. The only time Yeshua's Mekel, says the Braisa, is by the case that we discussed, a Suffolk Cholol. But if it's not a Suffolk Cholol, Yeshua would not be lenient. Om Rameya, comments Rameya, Shemati, says the Gemara, Shekol She'en by Echem Kol Elu. If there is no question of Mamzeris, Nesinus, or Avdus, Mesin LeKahuna. The Amon of such individuals could even marry a Kohen. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, I'm Mishim Rameya. V'kenai Rav Shimon Manasseh, I'm Kedvarav. Eza Amonis Isa. Who is the Amonis Isa that Rav Yeshua and Rav Yehuda ben Seirah said that she may marry a Kohen? Kol Shanitma Safi Cholol. Where she married a Safi Cholol. Mekirim Yisrael Mamzerim Shebeneim. And Rameya makes a statement. Klal Yisrael know who the Mamzerim is. And therefore if it's a Safi Mamzer, if he was a mamzer, we would know. They makirim chalol shebeneim, and therefore the Gemara seems to say now that he's more lenient by a mamzer, by a sofik mamzer than a sofik chalol, which of course is contrary to everything that we discussed till now. And the Gemara will address this. Amar. So the Gemara delves into the brisa. Ezo almanas isa kol she'ein b'loy mishum mamzeres loy mishum nesinus v'loy mishum avdi melochim hachalol. It seems from this brisa, from the ratio of the brisa, it's a safek cholol kosher. The question is, Mishna Hanach, why are we machmer by any of the sveikas, safek mamzer, safek nosen? Because the issue is that this woman, if she had relations with such a man, she may not marry a kohen mederaisa. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if she was married to a cholol, then also mederaisa, she may not marry a kohen. Vesu. And the Gemara continues. Amar Rameyer, the Braisa said, the Rameyer says, Shemaati, kol she'en bo'y echmi kol elu, anybody that doesn't have any one of these considerations, concerns that he's a mamzer nosan or eved, masin lakuna. We allowed his wife may marry a kohen. Hainu Tanakama. So says the Gemara, what did Remeus say different than Tanakama? And then the next question, Vesu. The Braisa continued saying, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Oymer Shimon Remeya, Vikein Oyer Rav Shimon Manasseh, Oymer Kedvarov, Ezo Amonis Isa, Ko Shenitma Sofik Cholol. Whenever you have a situation of a Sofik Cholol, that's where we have to be Machmer. But if it's a Sofik Mamzer, we could be lenient. Because Makim Yisrael Mamzerim Shemanayim, Klai Yisrael able to identify who are the Mamzerim. However, Ve'ei Makim Chalolim Shemanayim, they're not able to identify who are the Chalolim. So according to this, we're more Machmer by Safek Chalol than we are by Safek Mamzer. But ask the Gemara of Amrit Reisha, haven't we said in the Reisha just the opposite, that by Chalol kosher, by Chalol we're lenient, and by Mamzer we're not. So explains the Gemara, the Braisa, the Tanoim of this Braisa are not discussing what we were discussing previously about Rabbi Shua and Gamaliel speaking about Almanus Isa. The question here is, will we know for a fact that this woman lived with an individual who was a Safek Cholol? It's not the Sfeika that we mentioned earlier. And says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mamzer Tzeveach. Rabbi Yochanan says, a person that there is no question that he's a kosher Jew. But when we call him a mamzer, he protests and he says he's not a mamzer. Or when they call him a cholol, he's shoysik. He's quiet, ikabanayu. That is the machloikus. Do we say shtika kaidob, the fact that he remains silent when he's a cholol? And as I saw the Rishonim point out, particularly, let's look at this individual. This individual, when he's called a mamzer, he protests. So we see that this is the type of individual, when something wrong about him is said, he protests. So the fact that he was quiet when he was called a cholol is something that we should be concerned about. Something that we should be concerned about. Why, when you were called a mamzer, did you protest? And why, when you were called a cholol, did you say nothing? Tanakam sava, kol pasuk dekar levishasik. It must be the fact that he was quiet is an indication that pasuk, that what was said about him is accurate. And that's why we have to consider him a cholol, because of shtika kaida, the fact they remain quiet. Fachkama Tanakama. And now we explain the opinion of Tanakama. Ezo Amanas Isa. Who's the Amanas Isa that we have in Machloikis? Kosher Embay Loi Shtuk Mamzeris. That he didn't remain quiet when he was called a Mamzer. Veloi Shtuk Nasinus. And he didn't become quiet when he was called a Nasan. Veloi Shtuk Avad Milochim. He didn't remain quiet when he was called an Eved. Veloi Shtuk Kowal. Because if he was quiet, his being quiet indicates that he has a disqualification. And therefore, in a case where he was called a cholol and he didn't remain quiet, is a proof that he is not a cholol. Amanas Isa, says the Tanakama, that's kosher, is only in a situation where we know that the husband is a safek cholol and there is no shtika kaido. But if we're faced with a situation of shtika kaido, then we need to be concerned. The Kamale Remeya, and now Remeya talks to the Tanakama. He says, Hanach, by Mamzer Nozen Eved, who, in those situations, if she remains quiet or he remains quiet, that is an indication that there's something wrong. The Kaposle Bechal, being called a Mamzer is a very serious allegation. Because if it's indeed true that he is a mamzer, he can't marry anybody in Klal Yisrael. So if it were not true, he would say something. Avashtuk cholol, the fact that he remains quiet when he's called a cholol, it's not a proof that he's being quiet. Because shtika kaida, hadashasik, b'shendaleich b'slei. Because being a cholol is of limited repercussion. It only makes a difference as far as Kohanim are concerned. And therefore, the fact that he didn't respond doesn't make a difference. And therefore, a shtuk mamzer chol mamzer nosen ve'eved is an indication of shtika kaida. Shtika, being quiet by a cholol, is not an indication of anything, says Rameya. Continues Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The Kamalei Rav Shimon ben Elazar Tanakam de Rameya. Ish mielach. If you heard the machshir Rameya b'shtika, loy de kar levishasik. Rameya that was lenient, when somebody's called a cholol and remains silent, it's not because he admits, it's just because it doesn't bother him. It's el de kar le mamzer v'shasik. Only when he's called a mamzer and he remains silent, that's where Rameya is lenient. Because Hod HaShasek, that he remains quiet, is not because he's agreeing that I'm certainly a mamzer. Sava, mamzer kalalasle. Everybody knows that who a mamzer is. And since there is no kol, there is no persistent rumor regarding me that I am a mamzer, I need not protest. Avo mamzer tzaveach, but in a situation where somebody's called a mamzer, and he protests, chol of a shaysik, or if somebody is a cholol, and he's called a chol, if somebody's called a chol and he remains quiet, pasul. There we have to be concerned there's a cholol. V'hai the shaysik, and this that he's quiet, sover, mistaya. It's enough that I just am called a cholol, and they don't do any more homework about me. The loy mafkale, because maybe if they'll continue doing homework on me, they may discover that I even have a bigger disqualification. A cholol is only disqualification as far as kun is concerned. But if I'm going to start making protest, they'll discover that I have more disqualification. And that's why he's quiet, by being a cholol, being quiet, is an indication that maybe there's something wrong. Ask the Gemara. Tani chada, Rabbi Yossi amishtuk mamzer, a person who's quiet when he's called a mamzer, kosher. Shtuk cholol, but if somebody's called a cholol and he's quiet, pasul. And the reason is because by a cholol, he's quiet because he's concerned that they're going to do more investigation about him. By a mamzer, he's not responding because he says, if nobody else thinks I'm a mamzer, why would I respond? V'tanya idach, but there's another braisa that says differently. Shtuk cholol, somebody who's quiet when he's called a cholol is kosher. And the Braisa says, whoever somebody says, shtuk mamzer is pasul, because there we say, shtika kaida. So aren't these two Braises contradicting each other? Answers the Gemara Lekasha. Ha Tanakama libe d'Rabeya. The first Braisa that represents the Tanakama's understanding of Rameya, that according to Rameya, a shtuk mamzer is pasul, because how could you be quiet when you're called a mamzer? But a shtuk cholo is kosher, because he doesn't consider it such a big deal, because a cholol has limited repercussions. Ha, the second braisa is Rav Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of Rameya, that according to Rameya, the shtuk cholol is pasul because he's quiet because he's concerned that they shouldn't do any more investigation about him. A shtuk mamzer is kosher because he doesn't pay attention to that allegation because there's no kol that he is a mamzer. The Raiva points out that all of these, this Thai Gemara that we just discussed, that if somebody remains quiet, the Gemara said, under many circumstances, that's a proof that it's possible, says the Ravid, that was only in the time in earlier generations, where if somebody made a false allegation about somebody else, Bezdin would get involved and say that this is a libelous allegation, and Bezdin would punish, and Bezdin would get involved for people acting and talking this way. But Bezman Hazeh, says the Ravid, when Bezdin doesn't have the authority that it originally had, and when somebody remains quiet, says the Ravid, it's the right thing to do. The Ravid said, Hashoysik al Mariva, if somebody's quiet when they say bad things about him, Hareza Meshubach, on the contrary, it's something that's praiseworthy. So Bizman Hazeh, being quiet or not being quiet, really doesn't prove anything. And therefore, says the Ravid, this entire piece of Gemara would not be relevant Bizman Hazeh. Our Gemara spoke quite extensively about a situation of a woman who had inappropriate relations with a man that she's not allowed to be married to. Can she marry a Kohen? Ramosha, and the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe, Evan Ezra Chelek Dalet Simamem, was asked a question. He was asked, this was a woman who, as a single woman, she had relations with men, if she's allowed to marry a Kohen. So Ramosha writes to her that it's very clear that now you've done tshuva, and now you're a person that wants to do the right thing. So he says, we need to determine who were the men that you had relations with. And he says, if the man were Yisraelim, so you could marry a Kohen. But if you were non-Jews, you would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. So he says to her, every woman has a cheskes kashrus. But he says, but if you had relations with many men, it's hard to be lenient, because it's hard to believe, since you weren't religious at that time and you weren't being careful, maybe you had relations with a non-goy. The Reb Moshe Sternbuch, in the Shas Tshuvas, Tshuvas and Hagas, Chelek Dalet Siman Resh Pei Aleph, says that a similar question, where there was a woman who, as a single girl, had relations with men, and now she became a Baal Tshuva, and she became a Kala with a Kohen. And she's claiming that all the men that she had relations with were Yisrael. Can we believe her? So Ramosha says she was living on a college campus where most of the people are not Jewish. We cannot assume that the people that she had relations with all were Jewish, and we can't let her marry a Kohen. Rav Eliyoshev Zatzal, in the Shalos Tshuvos Kovos Tshuvos, Chelek Aleph Simchav Dalet, says that women who were promiscuous and had relations with all sorts of men, says that now there's a question, can she marry a Kohen? He says that if she claims that she's still a psula, Rav Yashav says, we should investigate, but a doctor should do an examination if she's still a psula. And if she turns out that she's a bula, but she claims that she only had relations with Yehudim Ksherim, says Rabbi Yashav, we can't believe that, because we have to follow the Roiv. But Rabbi Yashav says, if she claims that the reason she's not a psula, going back to our previous year, is because she's a Mukas Eitz, so then there's another reason to be lenient, because she could have said that she's a Mukas Eitz. Says Rabbi Yashav, she then has a migui that when she says that I'm not a Mukas Eitz, she admits she had relations, but she says I only had relations with Yisrael Kosher, maybe we would believe her.